Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the Tampa Delphi Eagles fan club, one of the largest in West Central Florida, a loyal bunch of diehards, still coming out to the games, still watching what we've seen this past Sunday, and still loyal and following the team. Boy, what can we say that hasn't been said or written by now, right? It's Tuesday night. It's about 48 hours after the game, not quite, but close, and surely enough time to be able to break apart what did and did not happen, what should have happened, what might be next with the Eagles game against the Saints. First of all, let me just say that I've been following football for about 40 years. The game's changed a lot. I follow the changes. I know people in the game. I know people who have played the game. I know people who have coached the game. I understand the X's and O's a little bit, and I have friends in other areas of the NFL that I guess most average fans would not. Does that make me any more qualified than anybody else to say what might be going on here? Probably not. You know, we all have opinions, but are they valuable? Are they correct? Who cares? Who cares? Well, football, putting it in its perspective, is just purely entertainment. That's all it is, folks. It's something to do on Sunday. And the games got out of hand because the market grew, the advertising grew, and the viewership grew, and TV grew. And one thing, as the snowball rolled downhill, football became what it is today. But it's still, in its simplest form, entertainment. It's they do it so you can watch it. And they make money off it. They've monetized it. So I'm not going to get all wound around the axle on this thing. I will say this. I respect Doug Peterson. I respect the Eagles organization. They're in a tough spot right now. I'm not going to pile on. You can blame Doug Peterson, and everybody has. You can blame Jim Schwartz, and everybody has. Is it their fault? Not entirely. But ultimately, it's their fault because the buck stops on their desks. And the bottom line is that those guys were tasked to produce something, but they're at the point where they can't produce it. We don't have the bodies. We don't have any talent. We're playing guys out there on the NFL fields that haven't been in football that long and have never played games and are brand new to this. And we, as fans, are watching it. And we as fans are not only watching it, we're reacting to it. The best thing we could do is just simply tune in, watch, and if it starts to bother you, turn it off. Yep. Turn it off. Walk away. Go find something else to do. Don't ruin a good mood because of this kind of entertainment. Because that's not entertainment where I come from. I come from North Philadelphia. I come from the inner city. Germantown and Hung Park, Broadden the Boulevard. Nice town, that's my section. Not very nice. Certainly not nice today. Like all cities, it's changed. But so's the game, so's the sport. It's so sophisticated, so specialized, so broken down into different statistics and different profiles that it's hard to get a guy and plug him in and make it work. So the Saints took us apart, if you don't know that by now, but it was a clinic. They just did a job on the offense and the defense. And one thing it exposed was the need to get a wide receiver in Golden Tate, who looks like an extraordinary guy. I got to tell you, he's bringing something to the team that we don't have. And I'm very excited about his acquisition, but we didn't see any benefit of that this past Sunday. But he's new, and let's hope it gets better. Question, do we really need a guy like him on offense? Is it really going to make a difference at this point? No. It isn't. So was he a luxury? Was he a waste? Did we just spin wheels? No, I really think we got a good guy that we could use. We would have still needed to get a Golden Tate, but he would not have been available. I think that grabbing him now is just smart shopping. It's as simple as that. It's cold out there. You need a pair of gloves. You see a pair of gloves on sale. They look great. They're priced attractively. I mean, you can afford them. And they're a pair of gloves you don't mind being seen in. So you buy them. That's a smart purchase. Same thing with Golden Tate. He's a good fit. So anyway, Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz do anything, man. His defensive backs are so porous, throwing arms out there instead of tackles. If you go back over the years for Eagles football, you may remember when we owned the middle. Andre Waters, Bobby Taylor, Wes Hopkins, Terry Hogue, Michael Zordich, those guys brought the lumber. They laid people out. They hit them. You can't do that now because of rules and regs. It's too sissified, right? Clint Eastwood, if you remember his quote about what's happening to the men of America. Uh-huh. It's true if it's here. So maybe we can't play the game that way anymore. But we sure don't have to just, what are we going to do, throw Kleenex at them as they run by? Come on. You got to put their ass in the dirt. Football's a game of the heart. You got to hit. What's every coach say? Well, he's not in hitting shape. Well, hit. So let's go. You're paid to hit. Put him down. But our DBs don't. Our linebackers, they're doing okay. Thank God we got Jordan Hicks still healthy. And I don't want to jinx that. But our defensive line, which is supposed to be our strength, was silent on Sunday. I'm sure there's been enough written about that, too. They really miss Barnett. They absolutely miss Barnett. You can see it. The pass rush isn't what it used to be. Chris Long he may be one of the guys that don't come back next year. Who else we got out there? Brandon Graham is consistently good, but his game is toned down a little bit too. They just miss Barnett, and the line isn't a line. We had one of the best, maybe the best defensive line in football last year. Certainly one of the top five, maybe the top three. Sure didn't look it on Sunday. We had a week to prepare against Sean Payton, who has a phenomenal team. I mean, face it, this talk about the Rams. The Saints are the best team in the NFL. Sean Payton is a remarkable coach. You know, he used to be an Eagles quarterback's coach. Did you know that? Sean Payton was an Eagle. Sean Payton left the team to take an assistant job somewhere else or move up. And he may have been Doug Peterson's quarterback's coach. And it was during the early Andy Reid era. I think Andy Reid came in 1998. And Peyton was around then. Sean Payton, John Gruden, those guys were on the Eagles together Gruden was offensive coordinator. Peyton was, I'm pretty sure, quarterback's coach. So he may know Doug Peterson that far back when he was his student. So he didn't run up the score, but he did. You know, 48 points? Come on. Come on, Sean. What are you selling here? It's not that way. By the way, if you've got anything to say about the Eagles, before I keep going deeper into the rant, the number to call in, and the show listenership is growing. Thank you. 657-383-1614. Repeat. 657-383-1614. Call in. You got a point to make about the Eagles? You got something to say? Say it. You got the mic. I'll open up your mic. And, you know, this show is broadcast throughout the United States, and this show has connections to other outlets around the world, which may be why the listenership is jacking up the way it is. Tell you what, folks, people hear you. They're hearing you. We're just starting out. I mean, we haven't been on air that much, but, you know, we got a ripple on the pond. So if you want to be part of it, please call. For the folks that have called before, there's no limit. Come on, call back. Frankie, if you're in Alabama like you were last week, come on, buddy. Get warm in Tampa. Doug Peterson and Sean Payton and Jim Schwartz. Schwartz doesn't have the guys. He doesn't have anybody to replace the guys he's got now. If we go down with more injuries, which are possible, over the course of six more games, it could be the worst season for any NFL team ever. Speaking of injuries, let's roll it over to the offense. Was there really a reason to keep Carson Wentz in there that long? Did we really need to let Carson Wentz play the full game? Could we have pulled him out in the fourth quarter and let Foles get some reps? The game was already probably, for all intents and purposes, beyond our control. Our time of possession was horrendous. Our yardage, all of that was not working for us. What worked before last year is not working this year. They figured out Doug Peterson and his plays and his schemes, and they've learned how to defend him very quickly and also very effectively. So could we have put in Foles? It may have just been a different rhythm, but any little thing at this point may open up the game. And I'm one who doesn't want to see Carson Wentz get hurt again. And even though Sean Payton is not going to put an order out to his guys like clobber him, he's not going to do that to Carson Wentz. I think he respects Doug too much. And maybe Sean Payton doesn't need to do that. So I think Wentz was safe physically regarding injuries, but freak things do happen. You know, like people fall off ladders and people slip on the ice. I mean, stuff happens. So on a football field, when you got 320-pound bodies flying around, you may hit the ground and a few guys may lay on top of you and crush you. So the potential is there for some very unpleasant events. And I think it's up to Peterson to maybe be a little bit more street smart in that circumstance. When it looks like the game is beyond control, you don't have to take him out only with a big lead. You can take him out even with a very, very large deficit on the scoreboard. So live to fight another day, right? What else about the Eagles that would be very significant? It's obvious. Obvious. I said it 3 weeks ago. Maybe four. I think it was immediately after. Was it immediately after the elections when I came back? Yeah. And maybe before. I just don't remember. But they do miss Frank Reich. The old offensive coordinator from last year went to the Indianapolis Colts. And if you take a look at the statistics for the Indianapolis Colts, they're running away with it on offense. Their points per game is sky high. Frank's doing a great job out there with the Colts. He was doing a great job here in Philly. We lost him. Doug Peterson doesn't know what Frank Reich knows. That much is obvious. So when you come down to the statement of who calls the plays, and the quick answer, immediate answer that is bellowed with authority, Doug Peterson calls the plays. Does he? What's that mean? Does it mean that Frank Reich sent him in and Doug went, okay, let's do it, and he approved? Or did Doug Peterson really think of and consciously select those plays to get those results like he had last year? To me, it's looking more and more like a collaboration, or else it's looking like Frank Reich called the shot. We'll find out more, but there's a lot of same old, and repetition in the play calling. You know, you can run the screen 20 times. It doesn't mean it's going to work the 21st time, right? Does that sound like Andy Reid? Yep. So, but Doug Peterson is very loyal to his assistant coaches. He's not going to get rid of Jim Schwartz. He's not going to get rid of anybody. If you go back to the Andy Reid years, Andy had a wide receivers coach that just couldn't bring the guys along. He couldn't develop anybody. Wide receivers would come in and they would not do anything productive. They came in with some good resumes and some good stats, and then they regressed. And we watched these guys run bad routes, blow the routes, drop the pass. I mean, bad, bad, bad. And we were saying, hey, you know, it's time to make a change at wide receivers coach. And Andy Reid wouldn't do it. And I railed about that on social media for, honestly, the better part of 5 years. Finally, Andy Reid did it. And finally, our game improved as far as that goes. But what a nightmare. I mean, and I wonder if Doug has got a little bit more Andy Reid in him than we thought or have seen so far. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, especially Eagles coaches. I think they're qualified. You give them the right talent and the right direction, they'll give you what you ask for. They'll give you what you want, which oftentimes is not the case. A lot of times you may not get what you want, but you will get what you ask for, which is why communication and words are so extremely important. You must listen, and you must listen aggressively. You must interpret, and you must reconfirm. So what I hear you saying is, so what you're looking for is, and you need to do that to be crystal clear with players and coaches. And you can't assume, you can't shrug stuff off. You can't have, you know, a stand-up conversation in the hallway about something that's tremendously major and just give it a casual one or two sentence and walk away. That's not how it's done. But maybe that's how it is done. We don't know. And I think what we're seeing right now is just, frankly, this is the year of the player that never got to play. The Eagles players have been out. How many of them have been out and not on the field for this year? How many? Quite a few, right? Guys that were supposed to have been coming back from an injury, or guys that were supposed to have started by now. Oh, we're getting our starters back. People were saying in August and July, we're getting our starters back. They'll be ready to go for the season. I don't think Carson Wentz was ready to go for the season. I know. He was. He would have to have been. He's too much the franchise, and nobody's going to play games with the health of Carson Wentz. But does he look like the same guy he was last year? Well, if he's not, then is that because of the line? Is it because of the play calling? Is it because the opposing defenses and defensive coaches have figured out the RPO? I mean, what is it? We could take this, I mean, spin the wheel and watch it go round and round and round. It'll stop on something, and whatever it stops on will probably be right. I think there's more to it than just one or two things. I think there's several things here that are happening, and it's all affecting the Eagles and their performance on the field. But it starts with people. So let's take a look at people. Do we have the right people in the front office? Well, yeah, Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas. They've gotten a vote of confidence because of their past performance the past 2 years. I think they'll pick up some bodies for us along the way, and when there's an opportunity to add to the staff or upgrade, you know, make some replacements, I think that's something we can expect. But once we get them, can we coach them? Doug Peterson has often said that you got to coach him up, you got to train him, you got to teach him, and I hope he does. But the players have to believe you and they have to buy into you, and I sure hope that Doug still has the faith and confidence of his players and team, because in reality, he doesn't control injuries. He doesn't control the temperature on the field. He doesn't control the referees. And those are three big factors in the world of today's football. So let's keep going back to people. Let me ask you, caller, listener, Eagles fan, maybe a diehard, maybe not a casual. Even if you're a casual, how about this question? Who is not coming back next year that's on the team now? We're going to be getting to that point, and you're going to see that question in print fairly soon, but it's in the minds and conversations of the media. They're wondering who's not going to be here next year. And obviously everybody after Jason Peters is probably saying Darren Sproles. And those are two big hits on the cap. I think we save about $4 million on Sproles, maybe $7 million on Peters. But that's a guess. I don't know the numbers. I should have researched them for tonight, but I didn't, because there's been a lot of things happening with the holidays and other things here in Tampa, which has finally cooled off, by the way. We're not in the mid-80s anymore like we were last week. We've gone down about 10, 12 degrees during the day, so we're in the mid-70s. Who else may not be back? Some people have said Smallwood. That would be a surprise. I think Jai, is that how you say his name? I can never really do that, and I apologize to him if he's out there listening to me. He's a heck of a good running back, but he runs mean. He runs angry. I like him. He's got heart. This guy wants to play, and he wants to cross the goal line. He's got an attitude when he plays the game, and I think every Eagle in the locker room ought to have that attitude. So my heart goes out to Jay. He's one of my favorite players, and I'm looking forward to him coming back. So who else will not come back? Who else will not come back? Obviously, some of the defensive backs that we got out there. We got three young, junior, very new defensive backs, and I think some of them are so spun around. If we could get upgrades, they're out immediately. I think one of our offensive linemen is going to be gone after Peters. And I think one of our wide receivers is going to be gone. Doug Peterson was saying, I've got to get Nelson Agholor involved more in the game. Nelson Agholor may be coming off his rookie contract this year, which may be another reason why we picked up Golden Tate, because they both play the slot. They're both slot guys. But maybe Nelson wants a fat deal based on the past year that he – well, the year he had last year. And he's looking forward to a payday on that Super Bowl performance. But also, you know, his performance this year has been very underwhelming. Like everybody except Zach Ertz, right, has been underwhelming. So I think if there's a wide receiver that's not coming back, I'm not quite sure who it'll be. But if Agholor wants big money, he may price himself off the team. So think about that. When you watch the games, if you watch the games, just watch. Don't keep your eye on Wentz. Keep your eye on the line. Don't keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the defensive backs. Keep your eyes on the linebackers and how they flow to the play. Keep your eye on where the running back on the opposing team hits the hole on our Eagles line and who nails him, who brings him down. You know, who's first hit and who brings him down. When we have the ball, take a look at where the ball goes. If it's a running play, what gap on the line and what Eagles lineman may be on that side to make that hole. Everybody's looking for the really cool wow, there's a really super fabulous pass downfield, very exciting. That's football, yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of blocking and a lot of other things that have made that possible. So the guy you're looking at may be the third guy on the progression as Wentz or Foles checks down. So, you know, coverage may have something to do with why that receiver got that pass. But take a look at all those factors when you look at the Eagles. Endeavor to learn more. This is a good opportunity and a good time for you to do that. Doug may not be able to change his game plans or his defensive schemes very much, opponent we're going to have. We've got 2 1 o'clock games. I know we've got a 4 o'clock game. I know we've got at least 2 8:30 games. We've got a Monday night football game in there, and we've also got another late night game against the Rams. I'm wondering if any of them are going to be flexed out. I think and hope that they are. I don't want to see the Eagles on national TV. You know, Tampa Delphia is a watch group. We're a good bunch of fans, and I might as well tell you now, we're at the Crown Plaza Hotel here on Kennedy in Tampa, Florida. It's almost 100% exclusive Eagles fans because it's a hotel property. Of course, there's guests that are fans of other teams. But we're a 200 to 300 level kind of an operation. We're not a foaming, crazy 700 level, you know, where there's brawls every week. That's not it. It's not who we are. We've grown up. We know that it's entertainment. We go there for the camaraderie. We go for something good to eat and drink and a good Eagles game and to talk with our fellow fans. And that's the heartbeat of who we are. There's no dues, no cover, no fees. Just wear your green and show up. It's fairly simple. It's all about us. The thought is that you put in a very, very hard, tough week. Everybody works hard nowadays. And, you know, with all your pressures and problems, your mistakes, you know, the demands of the job, the timelines, the speed of the clock, then you've got your morons, your idiots, your fools all on your back. By the weekend, just get me out of here. Let me find some place to hide. Watch my team. Watch my game. Get something good to eat and drink and unwind. Smooth out a bit. That's where I come in. That's what Tampa Delphia does. We've got a good venue. Large, clean restrooms. We've got menu. Good food. Good visibility. Good screens. Comfortable chairs. Our place is undergoing renovation right now, so we've lost approximately two-thirds of our floor space, but when needed, we have the outside pool area, which is wired for television, and also the ballrooms. So it may not be optimal. It may not be a man cave. It may not be 60 TVs aimed at you shooting all those EMFs at your face, but you could still see the game. You can hear the game. And most of all, you can enjoy the game. For those moments when you watch the players. For us to be in the playoffs, I think we're out of it. I think we're out of the Super Bowl. I think that's over and done. I felt that last week. The Saints just put the nail in the coffin on that. For the playoffs themselves, we have a chance to take the NFC East. Will we? How? We one more loss and we're out of that, right? So we have 7 losses. It's not going to happen. I'll tell you what, 9-7 will take the division. And right now we're 4-6. But that means we have to win 4 or 5 of our last 6 games. I don't see that happening. I got to be real. I don't see it happening with the people that we have and the people we don't have. Now Kelsey is out. He may be back soon, but once guys get dinged, I mean, they're playing hurt and you don't have your range of motion. You don't have your speed. You don't feel good. You're taking something for your situation. Maybe it's not just physiotherapy where it's just, you know, heat treatments or massage or something else to break the pain pattern and get you back on your feet. So you feel good. Maybe there's, some pharmaceuticals involved, and every one of those has side effects. I doubt that they're at the health food store giving you these B12 supplements or whatever else to make you play better. But that's the world of football. You got to play through pain. Everybody does. Everybody's always hurt, especially by the end of the season. They're all banged up. You know, you forget about it. Adrenaline's a wonderful thing when you get into the playoffs. Kind of makes everything go away. You don't feel it anymore. It's the same way of being in combat in the service. You know, during the heat of the moment, you perform. You don't think. And if your body is hurt, banged up, if you're bleeding, fortunately for me, I never was. But bottom line is that, you know, you're still going through stuff. It's intense, but you don't see it. You don't feel it. That's why you shake afterwards. When it's all over and done and you have the chance to relax and the adrenaline fades away and, you know, your body and its normal sensibilities take over again. And you go, holy hell, what was that? That's the NFL season. That's the NFL season. You know, you got all these guys just banging into you. So here's the deal. Where do we go next? Where we go next is to just watch who might be available. Start putting together the lists, working smart, you can't have conversations yet, but there are ways to cleverly conceal your interest in a very subtle way if someone were to become available. That's the world of GMs. They have their own language. Coaches have their own language. GMs have their own language. Scouts have their own language. How do I know? They tell me. I sit in the press box with NFL scouts. I sit in the press box with NFL heads of personnel and people from the front office. And, you know, you pick up little things here and there. And nobody wants to break the rules, but everybody wants to improve their team. So it's always, you know, you're always walking the line. And most of the time, you know, it's too small an offense for anybody to come crashing down on you. So they just let it roll. And there's other big things that they're worried about and other big things they're trying to avoid in addition to other big things they're trying to do. So I think that's where our focus will stay between now and the first opportunity to pick up some fresh blood. Two or three major, I'm not talking major free agents that'll break the bank. I'm talking about one, maybe two impact players out of free agency. And if we have some very early first and second round guys that we can bring in, ramp up, we're going to have a better shot. So we can even have our conversations start to be directed at what positions are we going to draft? Who are we going to go for? That's part of the game of football. Part of the game of football is your future focus. What are you going to do? You keep one eye on the balance sheet. Being a businessman, you always do. You also keep one eye on your intended goal. And then you keep an eye on your business plan or your roadmap to get there. And sometimes things blow up. Sometimes things get good. Like Fletcher Cox, he said, yeah, I'll renegotiate my contract so you can get in somebody else. So they freed up some money, and I believe they got Golden Tate with that. That helped the team, and that's good. Where do the Eagles go next? I think Doug needs to sit back and take a good hard look at himself. If he doesn't, somebody's going to tell him to. He's getting stale. Even his comments in the press conferences are getting stale. Doug's talking about this being the problem, that being the problem, and you know we got to get the guys able to do this or do that, and it's starting to sound like Andy Reid. We got to do a better job of putting guys in a position. Please don't say those words, Doug. Please do not. But Doug really needs to deeply evaluate where he is, why he got there, and how he can get himself out. I doubt he's in a corner, so he's going to have room to maneuver in a couple of different ways. to rebuild the team and lead it again, but he's going to have some very serious additions to his coaching staff. I really think he needs a good OC. Mike Groh is the OC. You know what Mike Groh did last year on the Eagles? He was a wide receivers coach. What? That's right. He wasn't even the assistant offensive coordinator. Mike Groh was your wide receivers coach. So our wide receivers performed very, very well last year and the year before that. I think Mike Groh is bringing something to the position. But is he an OC? I don't know. Do we have time for on-the-job training? I don't know. Here's the way I see this, and this is why I'm bringing this up. After we won the Super Bowl, we lost guys because of financial reasons. They left the team. These were guys that showed up, played a hell of a year, and won a Super Bowl for us. We would not have won that Super Bowl without these guys. Trey Burton was a part of that. LeGarrette Blount was part of that. And there were other guys that came and went. You're getting the picture on that, right? So now we also lost Frank Reich, who I believe is our greatest loss last year. And we also lost a quarterback's coach, Dave DeFilippo, who was another invisible but painful loss for us, right? Now we have the team we have today, which is largely a shadow of what it was due to injuries and people leaving, you know, gaps in performance by personnel. So I believe that we're going to have some more losses at the end of this coming season. So we're going to turn over at least 10% of our team, which are five guys. We might go, look, every year you do about 7, 8, 9 guys. That's almost 20% of your team flipping out. Those figures are not frightening in business, but they are for football, which are largely skill positions. But skill is a combination of size, speed, intelligence, heart, and performance, right? So getting the right fit is pretty hard. We had it last year. We don't have it this year. So we lost guys after the Super Bowl. We're going to lose guys again. So if we lose 15% 1 year and 15% the second year, that's 30%. That's 3 out of 10 guys gone, okay, from our Super Bowl team. And we're bringing in more newbies. And we got to train them and teach them. And we got to hope that they have an effect. And maybe what we're trying to do is to pin down, nail down the rhythm and the familiarity of offense. But the offensive line, even though they're trying to work together this year, it's going to be still a new experience for them next year as they bring in a replacement left tackle for Peters. The defense is going to be new. So how many games into the next season will it take for us to get our legs and start to be a solid team again, start to, play with consistency and a certain amount of respectable performance? Will it be 4 games, 6 games, 8 games? So what I'm saying is, what happens this year, take half of next year and don't expect a lot either, because I don't think it's going to happen. I could be wrong. I often am. And that's where you should call and tell me that I'm wrong, because growing listener base, 657-383-1614, will give you a global audience on where the Eagles go next. There's a lot of reasons for this season and a lot of potential conversation on where we go next, but it's the net effects I'm looking at and our expectations, because, you're a diehard fan or you're not, right? And diehard means commitment, which is one of the things I admire most in this life, commitment, which means I'm staying, I'm doing this. Commitment means I'm giving it my whole heart and soul, my whole shot. This is it. It's like your spouse, right? It's like your commitment to your brand new puppy or kitten. It's like your commitment to staying in a neighborhood. It's like your commitment to staying on the job and staying part of the team. I have said on, to my friends anyway that, look, I'm a loyal Eagles fan. I've been for a long time. And when I die, I'm going to go to hell. And I will be in hell wearing an Eagles jersey. And that will be my – that's how you'll know me. If you go there too, you can look me up. Say, hey, are you that guy from Tampa? You know, yeah, it'll be me. So let's think it through on this Eagles thing and try to get our arms around it. Because is it really the fault of Doug? Not entirely. But ultimately, he's got to get the blame. And is it the fault of Jim Schwartz? Not entirely, but he's got to get the blame. There's enough blame to go around for everybody and a lot of people, too. The only ones who are blameless, I think, are the cheerleaders. You know, they're out of this conversation. But I have never been to a game in Philadelphia at the new stadium. I've never seen the cheerleaders. I've never been to a new baseball game at Citizens Bank Park. Nor have I been to a hockey game at the Wells Fargo Center to see the Flyers. So I'm seriously derelict. It's just that all my family trips that took me up line were out of season or in between season. It was just something I couldn't squeeze in because they were fast or wrong time of year, right? So the Eagles aren't going to go anywhere this year. You might as well put that one in the bank. I'm not gloom and doom, and I'm not being pessimistic. But if they do, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong, and I'll be the first to congratulate them, and I will be the first one to be really glad for them because I'm not wishing it on them. I'm just saying with the way it looks right now, they're not going to go very far. I think 6-10 will probably be our year. If we go 5-11, I'm still okay with that. I just don't want them to drop a boatload of money or give away a lot of draft picks to get somebody that can help us for only a few games. I don't want that. I don't want to see any more guys hurt. Do I care if we lose each game 117 to zip? No, I don't. It happens. It's football. It's sports. You know, the best teams. So the Yankees have had bad years. The Seahawks, the Packers, the Patriots. You know, all of your major teams in every major sport, Montreal Canadiens, Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, they've all experienced some great seasons and then some downers. So this is no different. It's the normal ebb and flow of sports. It's the cycle. It's just that it happened to us extremely fast. Speaking of extremely fast, I once again have surrendered some time to the soccer show that's coming on behind me. And I want to give an intro to those guys. If you have not heard their show, they're extremely good. Championship and playoff soccer is a very exciting sport. And it's becoming one of my favorites. I produce the show and I get to hear everything they say. These guys are phenomenal. If you get a chance, listen into the Two Guys Soccer Show right behind me. With that, I want to thank everybody for coming to Tampadelphia. I realize it's tough and challenging. There's never any obligation. You come when you can. There's no pressure. Life's full of pressure. You don't need more from me. And besides, it's just for sport and for fun. If you want to come, come. We got a chair for you. The fun part about showing up again is that you make it fun. We provide the environment and we provide the opportunity for you to make new friends. So come on out, join us if you like, relax. And you can always join us on the radio again next time too. With that, I am going to sign off in a few seconds. My name is Paul. I'm coming to you from Tampa, Florida. This is Tampadelphia Talks Eagles, and it's how we're seeing the team right now as a somewhat informed fan. Certainly not a member of the media as far as Eagles beat writing goes. I am a member of the media here in Tampa. But as it is, I want to wish you a good week. I will talk to you next Tuesday. There's no point in having a Thursday show, but I will talk to you next Tuesday. Stay well. God bless. Go Eagles. Don't give up the ship. Stick with us. Keep wearing your green. And I'll see you guys in a week. Adios.